welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. It's a beautiful day down here in Sunshine, Florida. And how are you doing today, Dad? How's the weather up there in Montana treating you?
Well, I thought we had wind in Florida. I feel like we got a problem.
I can't hear you at all, bud. Your phone's completely cutting in and out. I'm not hearing anything you're saying.
All right. Talk to you later.
Anyways, well, so much for having him on today. So we have some pretty interesting articles I can go over in detail with you. I was hoping he had some stuff today. First thing to go over here is the U.S. defense contractors now are telling investors that Russia is great for business. Weapons makers have told investors they are relying on tensions with Russia to fuel new business. In particular, the arms industry, both directly and through its arsenal of hired gun think tank experts and lobbyists, is actively pressuring NATO member nations to hike defense spending in line with the NATO goal for member states to spend at least 2% of their GDP on defense. They go on to say, following the end of the Cold War, Cody said, peace had pretty much broken out all over the world, with Russia in decline and NATO nations celebrating. The wall came down, and he said all defense budgets went south. Nations that belong to NATO are supposed to spend 2% of their GDP on defense. We know that uptick is coming, and so we posture ourselves for it, he went on to say. The National Defense Industrial Association, a lobby group for the industry, has called on Congress to make it easier for U.S. contractors to sell arms abroad to allies in response to the threat from Russia. The need for NATO allies to boost maritime military spending, spending on Arctic systems, and missile defense to counter Russia. Many experts, however, are unconvinced that Russia poses a direct military threat. The Soviet Union's military once stood at over 4 million soldiers, but today Russia has less than 1 million. NATO's combined military budget vastly outranks Russia's, with the U.S. alone outspending Russia on its military by $609 billion to $85 billion for Russia. Yet the Aerospace Industries Association, which is a lobby group for Lockheed Martin and other defense contractors, argued in February that the Pentagon is not spending enough to counter Russia's aggression on NATO's doorstep. And what's so interesting that we see about this is this happens all the time. This is the same thing that happened before the Iraq War, before we went and invaded them again. All these contractors, all these lobbyists, start all this fear-mongering. We got to invade them. We got to do this. They got weapons of mass destruction. They're doing this. Remember, these guys live off the billions of dollars they make every year supplying weapons to other countries that are NATO defenders, and also to the United States military, as we continue to basically spend outrageous amounts of money on military contracts. I mean, we've brought up so many times on this show with the battleship that they just came out with that's not even operable. They can't even get planes on and off of it safely. The other issue where they talked about with the F-35 has been an abysmal failure. They budgeted out for the total build was a $1.2 trillion total budget for the full build-out of the F-35 in production. These are just astronomical numbers that most individuals in this country, I mean, when you start looking, just from a normal standpoint, you think about everybody usually uses $1 million, you know, as a pretty significant amount of money, you know, and then you start talking about $100 million, which is, you know, $100 million. I mean, you can pretty much buy anything you want, as much as you want, for the most of your foreseeable life, in reason, unless you absolutely just go berserk with it. And then you start talking and getting into the billions. And the billions is a whole other level, because these guys don't play ball in the same category. They don't even play in the same league as anybody else down below them. I mean, when you start getting into billions of dollars a year as far as what you're making, it's a whole other animal. And see, these contractors like making this money. They like sending these massively overbloated budgets, because almost all these military contractors used to have positions in the military or in the government at some point in time, and they all scratch each other's back. We've seen this numerous times. We talked about that issue that was happening 10, 15 years ago when the Iraq War started, and they were paying $450 for a crescent wrench, you know, $250 for a hammer, you know, $500 for a single socket set. These were all absolutely ludicrous numbers, and the military just literally signed the budget over. Oh, yeah, sign it, sign it, sign it. We'll keep buying more stuff. We'll print more money. We'll go into more debt because we need all this stuff. And they don't even bother to look at what they're actually paying for this stuff or get to get multiple quotes from multiple contractors to see who's going to give them the best price. They simply automatically give the contract to their poker buddies, your retired military or retired government, and that way they all stay in the loop together and they all make a ton of money together. So it's very bizarre to see what they're doing, but this right here just goes to show you, back to my whole point with the Russian incident, is starting to escalate why the media, why the government, why everybody is trying to overblow this entire issue with Russia. Russia, in my opinion, does not want to go into a hot war with the United States. That is not something that I think they truly want to engage in. I don't think Putin is that stupid. I think he's actually very, very smart. And the issue that the media is doing is they're intentionally trying to incite violence and war again, just like they do with everything else, with the protesters, with the police, with the Black Lives Matter, with all this stuff. They're always stirring up dissension among everybody, and that's what they're trying to do now. They're beating on the war drums to try and get everybody riled up so we'll go to war with another country to spend money we don't have and lose lives that never need to be lost. That's what they're trying to do. So be very wary whenever you hear the media start talking again about Russia's aggression this and Russia's attacking this and we need to get our military back up to fight Russia. I personally think Russia could be a very, very, very significant positive ally for the United States if we got along with them. And I personally think we could if our government wasn't so biased to starting wars with them to basically promote the unbelievably unstable environment that they like to do. Remember, out of chaos comes order, a new world order. That is the globalist goal, a new world order. And that's what they believe. If everything has to go chaotic before they can bring a new world order in. On the other news now, too, with Hillary Clinton, she basically has come right out now in a fundraising email and essentially says that Breitbart and independent media sources that actually give unbiased media don't even have a right to exist. She stated in an email that's very confusing, except she pretty much comes right to the point of suggesting that she has the right to determine what type of media exists among conservative media. She said in here, "We've had a conservative media in this country for a while," the email reads. "It was sent Thursday and signed by Deputy Communications Director Christina Reynolds. I don't like what they have to say, but I respect their role and their right to exist, which they obviously don't believe we do. Breitbart is something different," she says. "They make Fox News look like a Democratic Party pamphlet. They're a different breed altogether. Not just conservative, but radical, bigoted, anti-Muslim, anti-Semitic conspiracy peddlers who never should be anywhere near the levels of power in this country." Whoa, that's a strong statement, considering the fact that Breitbart has a lot of independent media that's very unbiased, that actually gives out media and news that really actually hits the point. See, the whole thing about this is now, Breitbart doesn't lick Hillary Clinton's boots. They don't go there and sit there and blow smoke up everybody's rear end and tell them, "Oh, she's amazing, she's awesome, she's super healthy, she's never done anything bad. The FBI was completely right. Everything's happy, happy, happy with her. She needs to be our president." No, they actually give out a lot of really true factual information about lots of different things that happen in this country and in other countries, including the massive influx of rapes, violent pillaging in Germany and the whole part of Europe now with the massive Muslim invasion. And what's interesting is, of course, they say it again, radical, bigoted, anti-Muslim, anti-Semitic conspiracy peddlers. The problem is, guys, if it's true, it's not a conspiracy. And a lot of the stuff that Breitbart brings up is not conspiracy. It's very factual stuff. So what I find so funny about it is, this is how they believe about it, and I can guarantee you 100%, as we said before, if she gets into power, it's going to be absolute chaos for anybody that wants to send any type of opposition out in the media against her. Obama has been very lenient on a lot of it, primarily because I don't think he was supposed to be the last duck in session with the presidency of the United States. I think Hillary Clinton or somebody else after her is, there's too many significant things that have been posturing over the last couple of years. And the fact that she's so, so liberal and so corrupt, the thing about it is, we don't know anything about Barack Obama. We don't. We have no idea about anything in his past. You can't get any information on it. Hillary, we know everything that comes up about Hillary. That's the interesting part about it, is how much stuff she basically has come out with. You know, there's an article that came out the other day, and here's just a few of her quotes over the last couple of years that she has made that really makes you realize we know exactly who she is and what she plans on doing. She goes on here. Here's one of the quotes I love. She says, "We are going to have to take things away from you on behalf of the common good. We can't just let business as usual go on, and that means something has to be taken away from some people." Ooh, that's a strong statement to start making. Another one she said that I love was great. "We have to build a political consensus that requires people to give up a little bit of their own turf in order to create this common ground." There you go again. They start using those terms that they use in Agenda 21. Giving up your turf, relocating, common ground, common good, taking away from some people. These are all blanket statements that are very, very, very generic, but have a ton of meaning on the background behind them. And that's why I said we know exactly what her protocol is and what she wants to do. And we see what's going on now with the UN and Agenda 2030 and what they're doing in Texas and Seattle and all these different areas, and getting these carless, no parking lot, no driveway, apartment complex, giant city structures built where nobody's going to be able to travel to and fro without some type of taxi or mass transit. Nobody's going to have vehicles there. They're going to live there. They're going to work there. They're going to eat there. That's where they're going to reside. That is the ultimate goal of Agenda 21, because that way you can control the entire population in a very, very tight, confined area, and nobody has any type of way of fighting back at all. How are you going to go out to the store or outside, way up out of town, to go to that one gun dealer that's out in the middle of nowhere that's been, you know, basically still open and fighting the good fight, and go get some more ammo for your handgun? How are you going to go out and go get some extra storable food if you can't drive anywhere and you can't get a taxi and everything shuts down? This is how it all works out, and this is the ultimate goal of Agenda 21 and Hillary Clinton. So you can be very, very, very confident when I say if she becomes president, she will absolutely eviscerate the independent media, and I mean every aspect of it. More than likely us, you know, InfoWars, Hagman, Hodges, Breitbart, all these guys. She's told, because Breitbart doesn't say anything that we don't, so that's the thing about it, that we say a lot more. So you can believe that opposition is going to get intense. This is also interesting now, too. Venezuela is now confiscating any guns they can find, even on law-abiding citizens. Remember, Venezuela has already banned firearms. And what they've done now is a lot of people still had stored revolvers under their bed, you know, pump shotguns that they had saved, and they never turned them in. So what they're doing now is they've launched a campaign to disarm any and all citizens in an effort to curb violence that's going on now with the massive starvation. Venezuela has the world's second highest murder rate, at least in part to heavily armed gangs roaming the streets with guns and apparently that they acquire from corrupt police officers. To address the violent crime issue, Venezuela has decided to chop up over 2,000 shotguns and pistols that they have basically confiscated from people, even individuals that were not criminals or gang members. The majority of the weapons and ammunition used for violent crimes in the country is manufactured by the state and sold by the corrupt police as well. They said, "We're going to bring disarmament and peace." There we go again, those two words together. Disarmament and peace with the UN. While police officers drill and saw on rusty shotguns, homemade pistols, and some newer weapons, other guns were crushed in truck-mounted presses as the public watched. What's so interesting about this is we might suggest that the rising level of violent crime might just have something to do with Venezuela's failed economic and social policies that have resulted in rampant inflation, severe food shortages, and desperation among citizens to do whatever necessary to survive. On top of that, all the stuff that they've been getting hit with now from the other governments whenever they wanted to confiscate the gold or bring the gold back, the United States didn't want to do that. So what I find interesting is, so gangs are running around with weapons that they acquire from police and that they buy from other places on the black market. So the best option to do is to take as many guns as you can away from individuals that aren't criminals and make sure nobody has any type of way to defend themselves. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense to me. Not at all. This is the issue that we see happening now in so many places. And this is the same thing that has happened in Germany, guys. The same exact thing. And what people have to understand is, this is interesting, I got an article right here now, Germany is actually telling their population to stockpile food and water in the case of some type of another terrorist attack. Now, some of this is fear-mongering, trying to beef up more the military presence that are on the streets. The problem that nobody is addressing is the entire way to combat this is to start allowing what Switzerland does. You have your military that is trained at least for 2 years, and then they are citizens again. They're civilians. They are still trained. They are still armed. They're still proficient with firearms, and they know how to defend themselves. America has not done this anymore. They used to do this, but they do not do this anymore. However, we still have a large percentage of the civilian population that is armed and does know how to fight. The problem is, when you see what's happened in Germany now, where you rely on the government for your protection, the government cannot be there for your protection. You cannot rely on the federal government and the police to be there for you when you need them. 100%, I guarantee you, 99% of the time, when you need them to be there, they are not there on time. They will show up, they will file a report, they may arrest somebody, but I can guarantee you, right when you need them, you do not have them. That's a simple stated fact. There's no arguing that. The issue that runs into that is when you start taking the right and the ability for the citizens of a country or a state to defend themselves properly against other individuals that have the same type or heavier arms, you completely have an unfair fight on your hands. And this is what's happened is the population is so used to relying on the government for peace, for protection, because they can't defend themselves anymore. Now they're starting to tell them that basically they're on high alert because of the Islamic attacks. Now the German government is telling citizens to stockpile food and water in the case of an attack. Berlin announced measures earlier this month to spend considerably more, here we go again, on its police and security forces to create a special unit also to counter cybercrime and terrorism. There you go, guys. Now you start seeing where the fear-mongering comes in. The cyber terrorism and security forces have to be bumped up. It says the population will be obliged to hold on to individual supply of food for 10 days, the newspaper quoted the government's concept for civil defense, which has been prepared by the Interior Ministry, stockpiling enough drinking water for at least 5 days, according to the plan. Precautionary measures demand that people prepare appropriately for development that could threaten our existence and cannot be categorically ruled out in the future. Now, the issue with this, again, is like I said, the priority should be more support of armed forces by the civilians. You cannot sit there and expect the government to babysit you all the time. Nobody is designed to be babysat as an adult, healthy individual. It is not the government's problem. I don't need to babysit you when you're 25 years old and you don't want to defend yourself. You want to sit at home and not stay armed and put a big old, this house does not allow guns on its premises. Well, if somebody breaks in and shoots you and robs you and takes all your stuff, that's your fault. It's not mine. That's what the civilians of this country have allowed to have happen. That's what they're doing in almost every single country in the world, and they're trying incredibly aggressively to do it here in the United States. They're pushing so hard. That's why I'm such a big Second Amendment advocate. There was somebody the other day that was sent me an email, and they were just running off about how, you know, firearms are unnecessary, you don't need them, people that have firearms basically are essentially dangerous, and you need to have your mind, and that's all you need. Now, I agree with you, you definitely need to be extremely driven with your mind. You need to have proper food stored up, besides just basic things like beans and nuts, and you need to have a variety that you can eat. A lot of people say, oh, well, you don't need a variety. You don't need a variety of anything. You need the same food every day, and you can. It's high nutrient density. You can eat the same food every day. But I'm telling you right now, I've done that before in bodybuilding. The exact same meals, weighed out, scaled out every single day for months on end. And I'm telling you right now, you're functional, you look good, you can stay strong. Are you happy as far as with your food intake? Absolutely not. You do it for a specific goal to achieve. So why are you going to sit there and deprive yourself of any type of variety when some type of emergency or catastrophe happens? You don't want to have any type of backup. You want to basically eat just basic, simple things the exact same day every day. Plus, you don't know who you're going to run into as far as you may have family that shows up. They may need to eat. Are you going to want to have the exact same food? What if somebody has a nut allergy and they can't eat? You have to think about these different things all the time. I'm not saying you need to go buy this or buy that. I'm just giving you my personal preference on it. But sitting there and coming at it as a anti-Second Amendment person and saying, you don't need guns, people that have guns are dangerous. Yes, people that are untrained, unskilled, basically have unrealistic expectations of what guns are supposed to do and have absolutely no respect for anybody around them. Yes, those people with firearms really don't need to be handling firearms at all. But I have run into very, very few individuals like that. And when I have, I go out of my way to make sure they understand that I am not approved what they are doing. They are not showing me any type of satisfactory, you know, weapon handling whatsoever. And I address it and I try and fix the situation because most people simply don't know. And if you go and tell them and you help them and you try and direct them in the right direction on what they need to be doing with a firearm, most people generally listen to you. Not like you have some of the idiots that are just, you know, yeah, they're there. And that's what happens. So you just have to make sure you're doing the best you can to keep everybody awake and proficient and skilled and not allow your country to get disarmed like this. I heard you laugh. You back on the show, Deb?
Well, I finally got a signal here. You know, we're driving around in Montana, and there's certain places that it says we've got bars, but the phone doesn't work. So, yeah, but no, you're talking about weapon proficiency. I mean, that's incredible that you know how to do that. I mean, you've got to know how to use a gun. I was talking to the one of my friends up here the other day, and he asked me because I was carrying two extra magazines on my hip, and I said, well, if you're running a .45 and you're only got seven rounds in your gun, you've got to have extra magazines. Otherwise, what are you going to do if you run out of ammunition? You have to know how to drop the mags, put a new mag in, and rechamber the weapon, and you got to do it within a few seconds. You can't be sitting around trying to study it, trying to figure out how to make it work.
No, you're absolutely right, and that's what most people don't get is they see these movies, they see these things on television, and they want to go out and buy a gun. That's great. I don't mind. I support that. Let's learn. Let's show you how to do it. But they think they're, you know, 10-round mag in their Glock that they buy or their 15-round mag in their Glock 19 is an endless magazine like they see in the movies where these guys come out with these little 20-round mags in their machine guns and shoot for 30 minutes straight and never do a reload. That's simply not accurate at all. So people have to understand, if you're going to engage in this, if you do want to be, you know, supportive of this, if you do want to protect your family, if you do want to be a patriot, if you do want to help us in the fight, you're going to spend all this money on a gun. You're going to spend all this money on ammo. You're probably going to buy optics and spend all kinds of money on all kinds of stuff you really don't need. Just simply back up iron sights, 20 magazines, and about 5,000 rounds of ammo is all you really need for a battle AR-15. That's it. You don't have to go crazy. And a good sling. But simply getting a good basic setup and training with it, and training with it, and then training with it more, and training properly with it even more. So those are the basic aspects that you have to realize when you're going to be getting involved in this type of stuff. And if that's what you want to do, I fully support you, and I want you by my side. And we have to understand that as Americans, we have to start doing that, or else we're going to go the way of Germany, where we have to put permits in to walk around with a stun gun or a pepper spray gun or a blank gun. Forbid we have anything realistic, we can carry a blank gun. Thank you, government, for allowing me to carry a blank gun around with me to shoot blank cartridges. You're so generous. I'm so glad I get to protect myself with a blank gun. And that's what they're seeing now with all the Muslims. They know this. They got pepper spray, they got tasers, and they got blank guns. None of those are lethal. With pepper spray, unless you're very proficient with aiming, you're not going to stop more than one to two people with it, simply because that stuff is not that harsh on the eyes unless you get direct spray. It's not. Stun guns are pretty effective up close and at personal with one person, and a blank gun's a total joke because they already know it's a blank gun when you pull it out because it looks like a blank gun, and then you fire it and nothing comes out of it. That's a huge deterrent to me.
Well, I think the blank guns are more to get the police to come and help the gun. But let me tell you, before I lose service again, we were in Glacier National Park this week, and we were coming off the mountain. And there was a lady got on who's done a 12-mile hike, and she's in her mid-30s, and she was a former Apache helicopter pilot.
Oh, wow.
And she'd been in the military for 10 years, and she finally was, they offered her the rank of major, but she was going to have to have a desk position, and her final tour of duty was the aide to a three-star general in Afghanistan. She did multiple tours in Afghanistan flying the Apaches. And I asked her, I said, well, what in the world are we doing in Afghanistan? And she goes, we shouldn't even be in Afghanistan. She goes, all we're doing is killing innocent people over there, and all we're doing is guarding the poppy fields. She goes, this entire war is a complete and total lie. She goes, it's awful what we've done to these countries. It's awful what we've learned. It's awful what we've involved in. It's awful what the CIA is doing. She was awake, Austin. And she says, she told me, she goes, I did not want to be there anymore. I did not want to be involved in it anymore. She goes, therefore I declined the rank to major, because I did not want to, also did not want to have to sit behind a desk. Because she said, now she goes, it's just unreal that she thinks about what they were doing and how bad the war was over there and how the entire thing was a lie. Getting in it was a lie. Being there is a lie. Everything's a lie because of the poppy fields and bringing the heroin into the government, into the country. So she was 100% awake. And it's a former Apache helicopter. And we're seeing this more and more when these people are coming back from their tours of duty in the Middle East saying, wait a minute, why are we marching around poppy fields? Why are we doing this? Why are we guarding these doggone heroin plants? Why are we doing this? And so the military is really starting to wake up. And that's why they're using so many more mercenary soldiers in all of these theaters, because they know that the American population is finally waking up, and these soldiers are coming home and telling their families and their constituents, wait a minute, guys, this is not what you think it is. This is a war about drugs. Just like Southeast Asia was a war about drugs with Vietnam, with the Cambodian Triangle, Cambodia, Laos, and Thailand, and in Vietnam, and what they were doing, basically, they were hauling all of that opium in from the Cambodian Triangle, and Vietnam wanted it stopped, and that's why we went into that area, so we could continue the drug trade. And so they were bringing 100 pounds of heroin in the casket, Austin, on the transport planes of all of the soldiers coming out of Vietnam. So they really didn't care how many dead bodies they had in that war, because the more dead bodies they had, they could bring another 100 pounds of heroin underneath the bodies, actually concealed inside of the casket. This is some crazy stuff that was going on, and it's still going on. It's all about fueling the shadow government and the drug trade and the, and basically the Exchange Stability Fund, and keeping the CIA going as strong as it possibly can. So the whole thing's absolutely nuts, Austin. But let's go ahead and change topics. What's your next story?
Well, this one now, too, just to see how right Donald Trump is about trying to really cut back on the illegal immigration, both from other countries, you know, overseas, and also from Mexico. The cartel-like drug violence, speaking about that, is becoming so severe now in South Texas. In San Antonio now, in an upscale apartment complex, a dismembered human body was found in a dumpster beside the apartment complex. They said it was a female with her hands cut off, her head cut off, and her feet cut off, and then set on fire. The San
That's
Antonio
right.
police on Monday confirmed that it had no motive, no suspect, and have yet to know the identity of the mutilated person. Violence such as beheadings and dismemberments are very consistent with the Mexican and transnational cartel activity, which is incredibly prevalent in the San Antonio area now. This is one of the main reasons, guys, why Donald Trump is so adamant about closing up our borders. It's not about bringing in a few families here and there that want to come in legally and want to come to the United States and have the America kind of help them as they grow and support the America and bring more to this country. That has nothing to do with it. Individuals like that have always been welcome to this country and always will be welcome to this country. What we have to do is stop this massive influx of people coming here that only want to do violent, heinous crimes. I mean, this is ridiculous. We're finding bodies fully dismembered in dumpsters now in Texas. This isn't Mexico. This isn't at the border. This is in San Antonio. Granted, it's south. It's still in Texas. This is not types of people that we need to have around us. The MS-13, I know, is bad over there. Also, to the a couple of the other ones, they've gotten so bad. This is something that really needs to be addressed. For some reason, nobody wants to talk about it at all except Donald Trump. And then when he does, he's this basically, you know, this racist that wants to kick everybody out of the United States, which is never what he said, and it's never been what he has implied. It's just simply what the mainstream media now is constantly doing. This goes right back to that now. Donald Trump, over the weekend, went down to Louisiana, flew down to Louisiana, talked to a bunch of people, shook a bunch of people's hands, helped them unload partial of a truck, about 12 cases of stuff that was coming out with them. you know, basically went down there to show his support. I mean, he's got all kinds of security around him now. I mean, he's the Republican, you know, nominee, so he's not going to get out there and do labor 8, 9, 10 hours out in the day. He's just going to hire somebody to do that, which he's done, and he's been supporting them financially as well. So he goes down there, he's shaking people's hands, he's talking to some people, he's telling them how much he supports them, he's doing the best he can from his end. He helps them unload about a dozen boxes. It's got Play-Doh in it, some other things for kids. This whole trailer's full of food. And it was really nice. And at the same time, the exact same time, Obama was supporting Clinton at another foundation meeting she was have, trying to raise more money. So they do their own thing. And now all these just liberal media news pieces now say Donald Trump spends all of 49 seconds helping Louisiana flood victims. Oh, Donald Trump had to do a minute of labor and then fly back on his private jet. And they go in here and just eviscerate him, showing him holding a photo of Play-Doh and say, oh, he spent 49 seconds unloading boxes of Play-Doh and didn't even bother to hand anybody food. Complete and total manipulative hog poop is all it is that they're putting out there on the media. Don't bother to say that neither Hillary nor Obama have even gone to Louisiana to even hold any type of meeting or support anybody down there, that Trump specifically went down there to show his support and tell them that he was helping them out. All they want to do is say he didn't unload enough boxes or they were full of Play-Doh. Who cares? The man's the presidential nominee right now. He's not going to go get out of his plane in a wife beater and gym shorts and help him unload 30 tractor trailers full of food and water. Why is he going to do that? He's going to hire somebody to do it. That's what you do when you're at this level. But the fact that he was down there showing his support, shaking hands, giving hugs, unloading a few boxes, telling the people he's caring about them and they're doing their best, stay strong, means a lot for him to even go out of his way to do that. Yet the mainstream media is so stinking biased and out of control now. All they want to do is eviscerate him because he didn't stay down there long enough or he didn't unload enough boxes. What a total load of crap. I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Well, you know, Austin, here's the thing. Number one, the Gay Canyon wasn't there, right? The Gay Canyon didn't unload any boxes. The Gay Canyon wasn't involved in it. The Gay Canyon was playing golf. The whack bag witch, she wasn't down there. She can't even walk without trying to fall down now. I mean, everybody's forgetting also that Trump's almost 70 years old. He doesn't need to be doing hard physical manual labor in the heat of the summer down there in Louisiana. But one more thing I want to talk about, the story you talked about earlier, how they found the decapitated, burned body of a person who'd been killed by the drug cartel down there in Texas. Years ago, this is the signature thing they do with drugs. Years ago, I had a friend of mine, he's about 5 years older than me. His name was Sammy Davis, and he was in Central. He went to high school with me. Actually, he got out of high school before me. And then we ended up, I got to know him, and he was a big doper, always stoned. And the craziest thing about it was, is he got held to the wrong drug people and ended up owing money, and they put a hit out on his life. And what they did, they ended up he went down to Costa Rica to try to get this drug cartel to get the hit off his life, because they told him to come down there, they'd work it out with him, and they did the exact same thing to him. They cut off his hands, they cut off his legs, they took him out, they cut off his head, took him out of the parking lot, and they burned him. And then they ended up being dumped in a dumpster or wherever they did with the rest. So I have a friend of mine that happened to. This is a signature drug cartel statement that if you do this to us, we don't play the game, we just kill you. And this is what Trump's trying to warn us about. We don't need these people in the United States doing this to our citizens. There's nothing funny about this. There's nothing okay about this. And, of course, the mainstream media is going to always say that you're a racist when you don't want these people coming into your country. Well, the heck with all of them. I'm tired. It's like Wayne Allyn Root just wrote a new book. It's called Angry White Man. Because he's had enough of it. I mean, we got all of these blacks now in political power all over the United States, including a president. We got Hispanics in political power all over the United States. And that's okay. But we can't talk about a white person being in political power, which makes us a racist. It's complete stupidity now. We have gone the extra mile with this affirmative action, and now we're making just the fact of being a white person something wrong. And guys, listen to me. That's not what I'm about. I'm proud that I'm white. I've told you guys that before on the show. If I was black, I was proud that I was black. But you can't take and put a person because of their color, including if they're white, down a notch. And that's what the mainstream media has tried to do, because that's why they're bringing in all of these Muslims and all of these other people from other countries, because they're trying to destroy the very fabric of our culture and our nation. Guys, none of it's okay. I want no part of it, and neither does Donald Trump. And that's why he's trying to become president of the United States, because Hillary being a globalist and beholden to these big banks and George Soros, who's funded all of these operations, she's going to continue the march down this road of tyranny with George Soros until the United States is broken up into its FEMA districts, and we are no longer a country. We're going to just be segments of a country. That's what's going to happen to us, and that's not okay with us, because this is awful, Austin. You're absolutely right. What's your next story?
Well, yeah, and to add on that, too, that's why I was talking earlier, if you got on the show, about the agenda that they keep pushing so hard now with the UN agenda with 2030, is because they want to bring everybody in these tight, compressed little segments of population, and, you know, big sections, actually mega cities that nobody else can live anywhere out them. Very, very similar to what you saw in the movie The Hunger Games. That was a very big, that movie right there shows you the absolute dream of the UN, and their overall goal is because that way they can control the population more. They can keep everybody in these tight little knits where they can control everything you do, everything you hear, everything you watch. There'll be giant little North Korea cities all over the country, and nobody else is going to be able to live out in the rural areas because that'll be reserved for the global elite. That is the dream for Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and that's what they're trying to do. That's why they want to bring all these people in, so they can create basically just a divisive mindset so nobody wants to come together. Because once everybody starts fighting internally in the United States and we start fighting all against each other, everything's going to become more and more chaotic until it'd be just the perfect recipe for them to come in, take all the dissidents out, wipe up the mess, and start over with a new world order. That's why it's so important we come together as Americans, as patriots, and stand beside each other against tyranny, against globalism, against everything wrong and unconstitutional. We have to stand up for it and do what's right. Now, here's another article here, too. This is a food one now. We've heard about this multiple times now, and this is just more and more Monsanto propaganda that they're pushing so heavily. They're saying now one of the most popular fruits in the world, the banana, could be facing extinction in 10 years. Researchers at the University of California, Davis, and in the Netherlands say that bananas could be a thing of the past within the next 10 years because of a fungal threat known as the Sitoga complex. A pathologist at the University of California claims that the complex, which is comprised of three fungal diseases, have been responsible for reducing the global banana yield by 40% so far. They believe to combat the threat, farmers worldwide need to apply fungicide up to 50 times a year to keep their banana crops healthy. Now, what's going to happen is this is total manipulation on Monsanto and the media. I'm not saying there's not some type of fungal issues. There more than likely is. But the fact that bananas are going to be extinct is completely ridiculous. What they want to do is they want to wipe out, this is true, they want to make bananas extinct, natural, organic, grown in nature bananas extinct. That way they can bring in the patented, paid for by Monsanto, GMO seeds and start banana farms that are fully and solely designed and controlled by Monsanto. They make money off every banana that's sold. They control all the chemicals, all the pesticides, all the herbicides, all the antifungals, everything you spray on it. They control it. They maintain it. They manufacture it. They completely corner the market. This is Monsanto's goal. So, yes, there may be some type of mild banana issue. I don't doubt that. I'm sure it's going on. But the fact that bananas are going to be extinct, no, not by itself. Now, if we continue to do this type of nonsense and keep GMO seeds going and Monsanto glyphosate and dicamba and all this other stuff, you know, atrazine ready, yeah, we're going to ruin the rest of the crops, the natural crops in this world. They'll be no longer be able to exist the next 10 to 15 years. We've talked about that numerous. But best thing you can do, guys, is support the organic market. Like I've told you before, do the best you can to support local. Keep these guys in business. Keep their food, you know, in your house. Do the best you can, because these are the guys that are really going out of their way to really try and keep good, natural, organic food grown without the use of all this disgusting stuff that they're putting on it now. You still with me, Dad? Yes, he left again. I don't know why. I guess it's too difficult to find a single spot to stay at. In other news, too, now, Dr. Drew has basically come out now and is basically being a whistleblower on Hillary Clinton's failing health. Board-certified internist, addiction medicine specialist, and TV personality Dr. Drew Pinsky recently made headlines after commenting on the declining health of Hillary Clinton. after being asked to appear on a radio show in California to debunk questions about the candidate's health, Pinsky surprised listeners by saying he is gravely concerned about Clinton's physical well-being. Pinsky said Clinton has received unconventional treatments over the years. Ah, there you go. He didn't say what they were either. Unconventional treatments over the years, calling the medical decisions bizarre and speculating it could be causing uncommon side effects. This is what Dr. Drew just said. Now, he didn't say any specifics in this, but he said a whole lot of stuff in this small statement right here. I'm going to read it again just so you guys get what he says. He says Clinton has received unconventional treatments over the years, calling the medical decisions bizarre and speculating it could be causing uncommon side effects. This is interesting, guys, because we've talked about all the weird, bizarre stuff a lot of these upper elite people are involved in, and this is just goes on to show you that more and more of it happens behind the scenes, and a lot of these guys know about it. They can't talk about it, though, due as far as to the HIPAA Act and everything else. But going on here, he also stated that Clinton reportedly suffered transverse sinus thrombosis, condition that Pincus calls exceedingly rare after falling and hitting her head in 2012. I don't believe that's what caused it, but I think there's a lot of other stuff going on. And he said that the people have a right to know what's going on. So far, the Clinton campaign has dismissed all theories that the presidential candidate is in any type of poor health, calling them more than right-wing conspiracies. However, recent footage of Clinton requiring the help of three men to assist her up a small set of stairs suggests otherwise. We've seen it. There's all types of videos online now. The American population, if any of the American population truly votes for this person, regardless of what she's been involved in before, she's an absolute nightmare. But I'm saying right now, with you with a good conscience, knowing what people know about health, about being in shape, about being able to run a country, about being the president, intentionally vote for somebody that is this unstable, that is this sickly, that cannot function, that cannot walk, that can basically have to sit down all the time, and they think this needs to be our president, you're a blithering idiot. You're an absolute moron. And most of my listeners are not going to vote for Hillary, else you wouldn't be listening to this show, but I'm telling you right now, I'm that direct, so is Dad with people. This is one of those presidents, this is one of those elections that's like, if you really go that direction, then I really can't even say anything to try and help you. You're just, it's over with for you as far as your mental capacity. I know that sounds really mean. A lot of people probably get mad at me as I said that, but it's really the truth. Now, the Obama system is in an insurance death spiral, quotes the Texas Governor Greg Abbott, commenting on the health insurance giant Athena's recent decision to pull out of most Obama-created health insurance exchange markets after losing more than $430 million. The Obamacare basically is designed to fail. We already knew that. The Health Care Reform Act was supposed to lower premiums by about $2,500 a year. Costs instead have gone up, causing insurance to either provide basic care plans or have to rely on older, sicker patients for most premiums. So what's interesting about this now is the death spiral that they're starting to see is because a lot of younger people are not getting health insurance because simply they found that eating clean, staying in good shape, I mean, this is tens of millions now showing now. According to Modern Healthcare Report, tens of millions of younger Americans are still not buying coverage. Part of the reason is because younger people tend to feel invincible, so health insurance is not viewed as an absolute necessity. It's not. It's really not. And I understand as you get older, if you start having an issue, if it's something that you really want to use the medical model, then, you know, a lot of times it's good and healthy to, you know, have some health insurance on the side. But to a lot of us younger people, and that's why I don't have it either, I mean, to a lot of us younger people, it's something that you really have to debate whether or not you want to spend $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a month for just yourself on health insurance. Is that really something that's, you know, feasible? Is it something you really want to invest money in, especially if you stay really healthy almost all the time? It's up to you. You got to make the decision on it. But as everybody knows now, and same thing the governor of Texas is saying, this was all staged from the beginning. This had nothing to do with helping insurance, and we've talked about it numerous times. It's in a death spiral now. It's completely imploding on itself, and nobody knows what to do about it because everybody bought all the smoke and mirrors, hype and garbage that this is supposed to be some type of really great plan and it was supposed to do everything for everybody. Guys, whenever the government mandates you have to have something and they're going to tax you and fine you if you don't buy it with your own money, there's a question for concern there. You have to really look at the validity and the reasoning behind why they want you to get it. And 9.9 times out of 10, if they're forcing you to buy something at gunpoint, which is what they're doing, if you don't buy it, we're going to fine you. If you don't pay the fine, we're going to try and fine you more money. If they do this, you really have to look and say, is this something that I really need? Is this something that I really should have to have? I mean, whenever the government's going to force you to buy something with your own money, if not, they're going to take money from you. No, there's definitely something about that that you have to question and you have to look at, and there's no reason not to. Now, another thing, too, now this is funny. Trump now is calling for the Clinton Foundation to be shut down. He said it is now clear that the Clinton Foundation is the most corrupt enterprise in political history. He goes, what they are doing during Crooked Hillary's time as Secretary of State was wrong then, and it's wrong now. The Clinton Foundation announced last week that it would stop accepting donations from corporations and foreign governments should Clinton become president. And that's because of all the flack that they've gone now. And if you really believe that they're not going to accept donations from all that, you're living in a different realm that nobody else lives in, because you know what they've been involved in. We've brought it up now all the time about what's going on. And so it's definitely interesting to see what is happening now with this entire blockade of media on Hillary, how we have these two separate opposing sides now that are completely conflicting, and the mainstream media is doing so much work to try and make it look like Trump is this really, really, really bad person, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's doing this, and he's doing that, and Hillary's just this perfect little angel that everybody needs to support. That's completely wrong, guys. That's completely wrong. And now, also, too, in other health news, we have the super potent E. Somebody was asking me about that the other day. I wanted to bring this up on the show, so I've gotten a couple emails about it, about the new vitamin E we reformulated, because they said it has a lot of different ingredients in it. It doesn't have a lot of different ingredients at all, actually. It's very similar, except we've added in almost every spectrum of mixed tocopherol inside of this vitamin E. It's a very, very high-quality, high-gamma, super bio-enhanced, natural full-spectrum vitamin E. I know it sounds fancy, but that's what it is. And it's designed to be pretty much the most bioabsorbable form of vitamin E that you can physically put in your body. It's very, very good. It's very high quality. You don't need as much of it. The old 1,600 IUs that we recommend, you can still take that much of it if you need to. But a lot of individuals find they don't need to take that much vitamin E. Generally, two capsules a day will do just fine. However, if you're really trying to work with something with your cholesterol, your blood viscosity, you know, you can take more of it still. The 1,600 IUs if you're a male, the 1,200 IUs if you're female, that's about as high as you want to go, but you can still take that if you need to. But that's been a very, very, very popular product, and it's made with all non-GMO ingredients, which is even better. And also, in other news, what we have going on with here is the Excellent C is still winning on the website. Wanted to give you guys a heads up on that again. And the Tribulus Fuel and the Magnesium C Dead Salt are tied right now. So if you guys want to go on the website, if you're interested in the Tribulus or the Magnesium or even the L-glutamine, that one's doing pretty good. The BCAAs are doing good as well with L-glutamine. I personally actually picked these last week. A lot of times I have our guys in the back pick out which ones as far as inventory, but we were running short on staff, and I wanted to pick out some good ones. The L-glutamine and the BCAAs are great for muscle recovery when you work out. The L-glutamine is something I usually always put in my morning shakes and my post-workout shakes. The BCAA powder with L-glutamine is something that I use every single time I work out. I mix 2 teaspoons in a big Voss bottle, glass Voss bottle that I have that I just reuse. And I drink that throughout the whole workout, just even though my workouts aren't super intense right now, just being in there. And what it does is it keeps your basic branched-chain amino acids in your body and added L-glutamine. And it really, really, really promotes muscle recovery. It decreases muscle fatigue. It really increases your muscle stamina. And it really prevents breaking down. down as much muscle tissue and using it for fuel while you're working out, because your body has those branched-chain amino acids and it has the L-glutamine in its bloodstream while you're training, so you're not running on a deficit. A lot of people just drink water. The intra-workout drinks have become so popular now on the market. And I'm telling you what, guys, almost all of them are complete total garbage. I looked at so much of them. I've gone through them ingredients. I used to use a couple different ones that I was trying out back in the day. Almost all of them have sucralose in them. Almost all of them have artificial colors or artificial flavors in them. And what they do is, a lot of times they use these different blends, and they make this really fancy, crazy blend name up with all these different ingredients that really aren't that necessary. You know, half of them could probably be thrown out and still do the exact same thing for you. If you want to get a pump, if you're not worried about holding, you know, a mild amount of water retention, I love doing the BCAAs with the creatine. I don't run any creatine right now, though, because I have to keep my weight down. But about a scoop of creatine with the BCAAs, a couple scoops of BCAAs while you're working out, the creatine will massively increase blood flow and water flow into the muscle cells. It'll give you more of a pump. It'll make you fuller. It'll make you hold more glycogen as well. And it helps speed up the ATP production. So creatine's awesome. We sell a lot of that as well. We got a really good German creatine. It's a pure one. It's not that cheap, but it's not super expensive. Really high quality, though. Stay away from all the Chinese creatine. It is garbage. I promise you. I've tried it when I was younger, and it is horrible. It bloats you up. It messes your stomach up. This stuff is super clean. You only need a tiny bit of it. I usually say a half a scoop, which is like 2.5 grams, pre-workout with your pre-workout shake, if you want to, or your post-workout shake, and about half a scoop while you work out with your BCAA. So that's just a little side note for everybody that wants to work out and wants to hold on to muscle tissue. And then the magnesium dead sea salts and the tribulus, like I said, those two products are really popular. That's why they're both winning. The magnesium dead sea salts are awesome. We soak in those all the time. We sell a ton of them. Mom and dad use a lot of them. They're fantastic. They're absolutely fantastic. They really help as far as with magnesium depletion that people are having. Really helps out with muscle cramps, energy, all that stuff. And then, of course, we have the tribulus fuel, which is pretty much one of the highest quality tribuluses on the market. We get it from a really good company, the same company we get our Tongat Alley from. The tribulus fuel is a really good option for men that are trying to increase natural testosterone production. Also, too, for older men that basically don't necessarily want to go on testosterone replacement therapy, but really want to try and have, you know, an added boost with, you know, muscle strength, muscle stamina, libido, testosterone, all that. It's a very good, cost-effective, basic supplement for that. The Tongat Alley is a stronger formula, in my opinion, but it's also much more money. So I usually recommend people try the Tribulus Fuel. I'm sure that's why it's winning right now. And then also, too, if you have any type of estrogen sensitivity, if you seem to bloat or you've had issues with gynecomastia, you should also take the DIM Estrogen Control. That's a really natural product that helps out with metabolizing estrogen. And then a lot of times people don't realize, if you start making an abundance of testosterone, it will actually convert into estrogen and can cause other side effects, including lowering your testosterone back down. So it's very important, if you're using a testosterone-boosting supplement, to use a good low dose of something like the DIM. Usually 2 to 4 capsules a day is all you need, and that really keeps your estrogen at a very normal, healthy level for a male, but it allows your testosterone levels to continue to rise from the supplement, which gives really good results in every area. So that was just a little side pitch that I wanted to throw you guys right here for this stuff that's getting voted on, so you guys kind of have an understanding. I get asked that question a lot about those two different supplements and what they actually do and everything else. So, and guys, we appreciate all the support. I got a ton of emails I'm still going through from the weekend. You know, I try and email you guys back as fast as I can, and we appreciate it. Everything, you know, we do here is pretty much for you guys. We're trying to do the best we can to wake everybody up. We want to keep Patriot movement alive. We want to get as many people involved in it as we can, but also too, we want to keep as many people as healthy as we can, because quite frankly, you can't fight if you're not healthy. You can't be a supporter if you're not healthy. You can't contribute to the movement if you're not healthy. It's simple as that. Like Dad said before, if you think you're all tacked out and you got guns in the safe and you got body armor in the closet and, you know, you weigh 400 pounds and you sit on the couch all day and eat Doritos, and it gets out of, it causes you to be out of breath to walk out to your mailbox, do you really think in any type of conflict you're really going to be an asset at all? Probably not. So it's really really important, guys, that we take care of ourselves, that we stay fit. And I'm not saying you have to be a bodybuilder, you have to stay lean, you have to stay crazy shredded. None of that at all. But staying in good conditioning, good, healthy shape for your body weight, exercising on a regular basis, at least 3 to 4 days a week, guys. You don't have to go crazy with it, but 3 to 4 days a week is minimum, in my opinion. You know, you can go more, but 3 to 4 days is a really healthy amount. Doing some cardio, doing some different types of training, whatever you want to do that keeps you conditioned. Everybody's body's different. Everybody has their own preference. With that, coupled with a healthy diet and proper basic nutrients, I mean, that's why the Basic Healthy Lifestyle Kit we have on the website that we have on sale all the time is such a popular kit, because so many people get it and they go, man, I can't believe how much better I feel. I have so much more energy. I have so much more strength. I just feel better. And having stuff like that around with proper diet and proper exercise will put you in the right mindset and the right element and the right body composition to be supportive, strong, ready for everybody. And also, too, make sure you're staying, you know, in the Word as much as you can. Stay with your Christianity, with your belief as hard as you can, because that right there is going to help support us and everybody else. Prayers change things, like Dad always says. So staying with that and keeping your body in shape, keeping your mind in shape, and making sure you have situational awareness. I get on to people about that all the time. I've made mistakes with it, too. I'm not perfect, but I really try to make sure when I go out places, I'm not paranoid, I'm not weird, I don't act like some kind of, you know, crazy person. But you have to have situational awareness when you're going through a parking lot, when you're walking through a mall, when you're walking on the sidewalk somewhere. Know what's going around, all around you at any given time. Very, very important. Very easy to do, but it's also very easy not to, guys. I appreciate it. Hope you guys had a great time today. I'll be back on again tomorrow again, same time as always. You guys have a blessed night, and I will talk to you again tomorrow.